Jeremiah chapter 45, Baruch in the time of trouble. The name Baruch means blessed, and Baruch was a mourner in Israel. We remember that Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Baruch was Jeremiah's amanuensis in his time of trouble. If a shorthand writer and typist of our day were to receive a brief special message from God, he would be greatly honoured. Things seem to be incredible now, but in those days the sun had not as yet settled down over Israel, and Baruch had this wonderful and comforting experience. We have seen how Baruch helped Jeremiah in prison to prepare the title deeds of the purchase of the field of Hanameel, and how he wrote the scroll at the dictation of the prophet in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. And we get a glimpse of the hatred and enmity of the people against Jeremiah and Baruch when they said to Jeremiah, "Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us." All these things were perfectly well known to God, and the brief message of the 45th chapter reveals the divine insight into one's inmost thoughts and ambitions. The chapter consists of only five verses. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch the son of Neriah when he wrote these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, and this in the whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest." We perceive at once upon the testimony of God himself that Baruch, whatever were his faults, took the divine point of view. "The Lord hath added grief to my sorrow." It is suggested by the Cambridge Bible that the words "Thus shalt thou say unto him" should be omitted. The note runs thus: omit as a gloss. Baruch himself, not the prophet, is still addressed. In the Septuagint, this chapter forms the last portion of chapter 51, and as is well known, the Septuagint varies considerably from the Hebrew Vulgate and English. But these particular words are found in this place in the Septuagint, though there is another omission. The answer of God to Baruch was like that which he had given to Jeremiah in chapter 12. "There was more and worse to come. Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up." And the Septuagint omits the words "even this whole land." Under such circumstances, it seems strange that a man should be seeking great things for himself. But God knows all hearts, and it is only too true to life. The Lord Jesus Christ, on a certain notable occasion in Luke 12, being interrupted by a man who sought his decision in a will dispute, dismissed him with a word and turned the occasion into a parabolic warning against covetousness. The rich fool could not keep his barns and goods. God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And passing from the multitude to his disciples, he exhorted them not to be anxious over the affairs of this life, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So now it is the end of the age, and evil will come, and many are anxious, and seeking great things for themselves, if we can only take hold of the Lord's words, we shall be saved from much sorrow, whatever the troubles of the times may be. We can only speculate as to what were the great things that Baruch had in mind. The old order in Israel was manifestly perishing, and it has been thought that he might have had an idea that in the reconstruction of the state he might have come into office. Be this as it may, the word of the Lord to him was at once a rebuke and a consolation. The rebuke was, seek not great things. The consolation was, thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. This last divine expression concerns the life that now is, of which an apostle says, bodily exercise profiteth for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Baruch was an example of this, as Hezekiah had been before him. Hezekiah said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And God remembered, and the divine answer was, I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Thus his life was given him for a prey. But as for the wicked, the scripture says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. The expression for a prey or spoil, shelel, is sadly suggestive of the troubles and temporal estate of the present life. The word is the same as that which enters into the name Meher Shalal Hashbaz, haste the spoil, speed the prey, Isaiah's typical son. In Jeremiah's day it was a time of spoil and prey in the land of Israel. In his book this expression is found several times. In Zedekiah's days, God said of the people of the besieged city, he that goeth forth and falleth to the Chaldeans that beseech you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. Similarly, in chapter 38, the same expression is found in relation to the same circumstances. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, because of his fearless friendship for Jeremiah, was rewarded by God in similar terms. I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. So now, Baruch, great things were not to be expected, but he was a friend and amanuensis of the prophet, and honoured the word of God. God said that he would keep him alive in the time of trouble. And so now with us, it is a time of trouble, such as never was. But thus far, in the divine goodness and mercy, our lives are for a prey, while we hold fast to the glorious hope of Israel and look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come.